Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. With me, Dave Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Action. And we're joined by John Biver, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action. And Dave, we just got through with one election, and now we need to start preparing for another election, an election that's really kind of big, but a lot of people just don't think it's that big.
And there is only a very short window of time for folks to get petitions circulated and filed with their local county elections clerk to be able to get on the ballot. And so
we're talking about what school board races.
We're talking about it's what we call consolidated elections, which is anything from local mayor down to trustees to a library or school boards, those kind of things. John has written about this for us at Illinois Family Action. Our website is ifiaction.org. And of course, we want to encourage Christian conservatives to consider running for these local spots. Oftentimes, they're not being filled, these election slots, and the current board or the current administration, for example, library board, picks their favorite people to go ahead and fill those slots, which is not a good idea.
And usually
it's not the purpose of the board.
The people that pick John are not what you call conservatives.
Well, let me defend library boards, because if the school system was run like the library system, I think we'd be in a lot better shape fiscally.
Okay. Explain that.
The teachers are unionized, and they have this power structure that's all about getting their way with elected officials. Library employees are not unionized.
Mm. But they do have the American Library Association.
That's right. And the library, American Library Association, is good for book banning.
Well, you mean advancing the liberal narrative. And, of course, the Illinois Library Association, which is just as bad.
That's right.
They're based in Springfield. The American Family – not the American Family. American Library Association is based in Chicago.
John, if I wanted to run for the school board, what's step one? What do I need to do?
I would talk to some friends to see if you're going to get some help if you decide to circulate petitions. And then the first thing out of the gate, if you got a cadre of family, friends, helpers, start circulating petitions.
Yep.
And get them filed. And go to school on what that process is so you do it right.
Do you know the number of signatures you need to get on the ballot for?
It's not many. I'm sorry I don't.
That's okay. That's all right. You know,
guessing a couple hundred, 250, something like that.
It's very doable process.
Right.
And if you have help, and you will need help to circulate that in your community, you can also, hopefully you're a member of a church, you can go to your church, your pastor, and ask them for help, even prayer, right? Just even prayer covering is good, but if they could also put the word out that one of our own is running for a position, and we want to have influence in the local school board, the library board, trustee, what have you, that's a good idea too, right, John?
Absolutely. What we're lacking right now, especially on the social right, is a culture where people realize that the political process is not – it's not the Chicago Bears where you're just a fan and a spectator. You've actually got to be a participant in this. And these fads and trends that run through the culture at different times – I don't even know what this Pokemon thing was about. But it spread like wildfire. Can you imagine if – social conservatives and fiscal conservatives started to treat local government like it was important and started to run en masse for these local races. We would make such great progress, because no longer would be a school board member or a village trustee candidate or a township trustee candidate running in a vacuum. They wouldn't be running alone. They'd be running as a part of a movement.
In my local township, I had a number of neighbors complaining about the amount of money that was spent on a new firehouse. And this thing is huge. I don't know what the fire department is envisioning for the future, but It was a boondoggle. The amount of money that they spent, and they still are sitting on, by the way, really should be reimbursed back to taxpayers. But there isn't anybody on the board advocating that that happen. In fact, a lot of the people that are on the board, and this goes for any board, I mean, library, school, township, trustees, often have the thinking process is they've got to spend what they got.
Exactly. A friend told me about what was going on in Wheatland Township a year or two ago.
And that's in Will County?
Yes, and they wanted to build this Taj Mahal office complex for them.
Yep.
And there was a couple of board members that said that we don't need this. And there was a fight. And the people who didn't want to build it, I think, won.
Right.
Last I had heard, they didn't go forward with that. But that's the kind of battle at the local level that goes on all the time.
Yeah, and it affects directly your property taxes, right?
Correct.
If you look at your property tax bill, what is one of the top tax-sucking entities on there?
That's right.
School boards,
right.
You know, when it comes to some of these projects, and forgive me if I sound a little negative here, but
uh-oh.
You know, we live in Illinois, and I wonder if you have to follow the money for a lot of some of these projects, like the new firehouse. And you say, well, why do they really want a new firehouse? Well, are they getting a kickback somewhere along the line? Do you find that happening, John?
It's hard to believe it's not happening. If we had a branch of the state government that would actually do investigations into some of these things, I think they would be finding all kinds of fun and games going on. But unfortunately, and this might be a little bit of an oversimplification, but it does apply. Getting elected to office, even if it's a state's attorney, you're part of an elected club. Why would you want to go bother your local school administrator or your local school board? You're all on the same team.
Yeah, that's a serious problem because the purpose of these boards is oversight.
Exactly.
And running the government entity efficiently and properly. So, yeah, it's a problem, and that's why, okay, I'm going to go back to one of my favorite quotes, and I've done this before on this podcast, from John Adams, who was writing to his son, John Quincy Adams, saying, son, public business must be done by somebody. If honest people don't do it, others will. If wise men don't do it, others will. And so what we have here is a dearth of wise and honest officials on these boards.
There are a lot of good people that run and get elected, but they're overwhelmed by the blob, you talk about the establishment in Washington and the, you know, the coastal media outlets. The same thing happens at the local government level. People can be intimidated. We could have two or three members of the school board who get it when it comes to dollars, but the school administration finance folks, they know how to play games and hide the truth from even their school board members.
You know, you talk about we need good people on these school boards, but it seems like if you're a social and a fiscal conservative, you've got a job and you're busy and you've got a family, and they think, I don't have time to run for the school board or for the library board or whatever board.
I think of that a lot because I don't have kids, and I can imagine, you know, parents of children, especially in this society, not only do they have to earn a living and take care of everything, the idea of having to be involved with government is overwhelming. Somehow we're going to have to figure out a way to recruit good people nevertheless, because it's not an option. We're going to have to do it.
And you know what? All right, so there's a lot of people out there that are busy, like you said, Monty. However, there are folks who are retiring, empty nesters. You might be able to recruit them in your church, in your civic association. You know that so-and-so is, hey, they're pretty good with our club's finances.
That's right.
You know what?
There should be a movement to recruit retired accountants to run for local government.
I love it. Let's start it here, John,
okay,
right here and now.
Good. All right.
All right. So if you're an accountant that's retired, give us a call at Illinois Family Action, 708-781-9371. Nice little ad.
There you go.
Well, you know, I wonder if really if you let's say you do become a member of a school board, how much time does that actually take? You know, they don't meet like every week.
No.
And, you know, sometimes maybe a couple times a month for a couple of hours. So it's doable, right, John?
It's doable. That's another good point. However, oversight is going to require some study, and it's going to require some investigation into other folks' experience on school board. It's a learning process. You've got to figure out how the game works, and that is going to take some time.
And it wouldn't hurt, actually, if some of our listeners wanted to just go and attend some of these meetings, right?
That's right.
Sit and listen and learn. You'll figure out in the next, you know, couple months if this is something that you can do in the next election cycle.
Absolutely.
All right. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, Dave Smith, and John Biver. We'll continue our discussion after this.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ working in the lives of his people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Action, and John Biver, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action. John, we've been talking about maybe running in some of these consolidated races and maybe a school board. When you begin that process, one of the things that you touched on earlier, you need to start circulating petitions. Okay. How do you do that? What's step one in that process? Do you have just to get petitions from people who live in the particular district where the school is? How's all that work?
Well, the web is a wonderful place, and there are plenty of Illinois government, local government websites making it pretty simple to understand, to follow the steps. And there are also a number of non-governmental websites explaining the whole campaign process, whether it's for local office or, you know, statewide office or whatever. There are plenty of resources out there. You're just going to have to go to school on it.
If voters are interested in running for these positions, it's important that they go get good counsel from their local township or their election clerk in their county, because they have the forms there. They can tell you whether or not it meets the legal requirement. The form itself needs to meet a certain requirement. If you have the wrong form, there could be someone who challenges you and on a technicality say, well, you didn't have your I's dotted here and your T's crossed here, so therefore this guy should be kicked off the ballot. And you don't want to find yourself in that situation, especially after doing the hard work of circulating and getting a couple hundred signatures on that on your petition sheet.
It's not as daunting as being a pioneer and when the country was settled. But ideally, the local Republican parties would be sources of all kinds of experience and information. There would be institutional knowledge you could tap into. This rarely happens these days with the local party organizations, but there have been some good ones in the past. I'm sure there are now that I'm not aware of. When I was involved with an organization in Northwest Cook County in the early 90s, every election going on in that township, the party organization had an awareness basically of who was running, what the process was, and anybody interested in running for a park board or whatever could just visit the office and get schooled. It would be nice to get to that place again in 4 or 5 or 6 years where there's enough of an institutional knowledge base in your local area, networked through friends and neighbors, where people could just get the help they needed.
That's good. Also the political parties, right?
Well, that would be the ideal thing. In fact, we need better people in the heading up the party,
absolutely.
Local parties too.
But in many communities in Illinois, they don't exist.
Correct.
Especially in Chicago or Cook County.
Well, some of these positions, like maybe for a library board or maybe even a school board, they don't come under the heading of your Democratic or Republican candidate for school board. They're essentially nonpartisan. So where do you get help?
Dave explained that already, and the web. That's where you can get it. But the Republican Party, if you have a local party that does do its job, they're involved with nonpartisan elections as well.
Dave, what role would Illinois Family Action play to help some folks who might want to get involved in, let's say, a school board race?
Well, they can call us. They can email us at feedback@ifiaction.org, and we'll do our best to get them the answers that they're looking for. We'll hold their hand if they need it, you know, to walk through the process. I don't mean that in a demeaning way. I mean, really, believe me, when I first ran for Republican precinct committeeman, it was all new to me. I had to figure it all out. And if there wasn't someone helping me, I would have missed something to file and maybe not made the ballot. But now that I've done it, I've been there, I can advise others on how to do it. Same thing with school board. You want someone who's been there, who's done that, who has experience with that, and we'll put you in touch with those people so you can do it.
But if you do plan on running for a school board, be prepared to catch some heat, right, John?
Yes. If the local school teachers union finds out you're a fiscal conservative, you're going to be targeted, and they will have enough opponents on the ballot to make sure you don't get there. They have money to spend,
and they spend it on a slate of their candidates, and to try to crowd out any fiscal conservatives. No, let's not stop there. Social conservatives.
Exactly.
We have a situation in District 211 in the Palatine School area. We've got a situation in U46 in the Elgin School area where we have lone school board members taking a stand against bathroom transgender insanity, is the way I like to put it, where the school boards are catering to the desires and the wishes of gender-confused students, maybe one, maybe two, and putting at risk the privacy, the modesty, and the dignity of all the other students. That is crazy, but that's politically correct, and they're bowing to it.
Yeah, there's that line in the Declaration about the public putting up with problems as long as they're sufferable. Well, this LGBT doesn't stop with T. There's going to be a lot of insanity to follow. So at some point, I'm trusting social conservatives, they'll have put up with enough and they'll start running for school board.
Well, either that or they're getting out of the school districts, which is good. However, as taxpayers, our resources are funding this stuff, and we have an obligation as taxpayers to be involved because there's a lot of unsuspecting, unwitting students who are going to be victims.
Exactly.
Of this LGBT. And, of course, it doesn't stop there, right? There's all kinds of indoctrination going on. It could be in American literature class. It could be in history. It doesn't stop there, does it?
No. It's a sad tale.
Well, if you decide to run for a school board, you can assume that the ACLU will be looking over you and seeing if you're one of them, if you're on board with their agenda. And you know, they've got resources and they can come after you. On the other hand, you have to say, maybe enough is enough. I care for these kids so much that I'm going to run.
And real quick, let me point out too, though, Monty, there are a lot of listeners here to this podcast who haven't been politically active. Their positions may be completely unknown to the school board, to the ACLU, and you can run just on fiscal responsibility and accountability and a good orchestra in, you know, in the school, in the high school. But once you take a stand, like our friends in District 211 and U46, you'll be marked and you will be tarred. And the sad fact of the matter is, there are only, for example, let's just use U46. We have Jeanette Ward, who's all by herself being tarred and feathered by many of the radical activists over in that community because she thinks that men's rooms and women's rooms and locker rooms should remain separate. Radical thought, isn't it?
Well, this gets back to...
And she's by herself. That's my point.
One of the things we were talking about in an earlier segment about Mike Madigan being the boogeyman, what leftists and Democrats have done at almost every level in Illinois is build political networks, political machines to whatever size and scope needed to get their people elected. And I'm sorry, but that has to be answered by the right.
And you bring up a very important point here, John. These local races, these local positions are the farm team for the Democrats, isn't it?
It is, and you can see how well they do at the state level after they've been promoted all the way to the ceiling.
So if there are any of our listeners who are interested in running for state rep, for state senator, for Congress, you know, up the food chain, if you will, this is a great place to start out, to cut your teeth, to learn from the farm teams.
That's right.
These consolidated elections. It's not just you're getting experience running and the whole process, but you're going to meet some people that can be key to helping you along the way, who've been there. They're on the school board maybe, and maybe they're with you on fiscal and social issues. And, you know, there's going to be some alliances made there.
That's right. It can be a positive experience. You just have to get a group of people to help you.
I would encourage also any of the younger listeners to this podcast, if you're 18, 19, 20 years old, this is a phenomenal opportunity to get yourself involved. This is a phenomenal opportunity to bring in your influence and a young person's perspective. Hey, listen, you and your generation are going to be paying the bills.
Big time.
Big time in the future. And if we don't get it now, the debt, the pension crisis is all going to just get worse.
So let's refresh our memories. We're up against some deadlines if you plan on running in a consolidated election.
Which is in February.
Okay. John?
You can circulate petitions now. Do your homework fast. Start circulating. And the filing period begins if the 21st is a Monday, then that's the first day to file. And that's, what, 13 days after Election Day. So that's trouble. And then you've got 8 days to get your petitions filed with your local government.
So you've got to do it now. Now, if that's too much of a turnaround, keep this in mind, because every 2 years – or is it every 4 years? It's every –
Both. There are two-year terms and four-year terms.
Okay. So this is coming up again for the future. So we want to have your ducks in order by then.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Action, and our special guest, John Biver, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action. And you can reach him at johnbiver.com. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you again.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.